show.
All right. Let's talk some state issues. I'm calling this Political Week, not Prime Week, not Arts Fest Week. It's Political Week. All right. Again, yesterday we had a curve tossed our way. Federal was yesterday. Today we're going to try state. Tomorrow we're going to do local. All right. We'll have more on that later. Let's welcome to our program our friend Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA. Stephen, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I love being the representative of Harrisburg. I feel very honored.
You sure you mean that? Which we'll talk about in a little bit. SpotlightPA.org is their website. These folks do great, great stuff. Stephen, we've had you on it, well, several times now, and I'm honored, I suppose, to say I kind of kick you guys a few bucks every month because I really value the reporting that you guys do, the stories that I'm not seeing in other places. So right off the bat, please keep up the good work. And
thank you.
First off, for folks maybe that have, you know, are new listener or something like that, if you would tell us something about yourself, your background, what do you cover, and then maybe a little bit about Spotlight PA and what you folks do. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Steven. I cover state government. I've been doing it for now 7.5 years. I went to school in Pittsburgh, so I went to Pitt. Sorry to state college listeners, but I'm going to be Ray Venipal's interception. Wait, no, not Ray Venipal. Anyway, boys, I was at the game where we beat you in 2016. I'm so proud of it. I've been covering Pennsylvania for 7 years. It's fascinating. I now live in Philadelphia, but I'm in Harrisburg as much as needed these days. And, Spotlight PA is an outlet that focuses on everything state government. We have an outlet in State College, as some of your listeners probably know, that focuses on them. We added one in Berks County. I think there's a goal of trying to see where else can we add these bureaus. But other than that, like, our core function is, like, how do we cover government and institutions of power in the state in an assertive way that tries to, you know, keep an eye on, like, what are they doing with that power and how is it impacting the people who interact with them all the time? And for the state government, well, this is the busiest time of year because the state budget was due June 30th, and we don't have a state budget yet. And that's kind of become the new normal, but I'm sure we'll get into all that.
All right. Now, I just saw something this morning, Stephen. Apparently, the National Press Club likes you. You want to talk about that? You got, an award of sorts. What is that?
So Spotlight got two honorable mentions from the National Press Club. So, you know, we applied. My colleague Angela got an honorable mention for coverage of the aging system in Pennsylvania. She's been doing a lot of work on holes in it that leads to, cases of folks who are getting up there who might be, you know, having some health issues that they aren't getting the help they need. I want an honorable mention for political reporting, specifically for our coverage of Governor Josh Shapiro, and the way that he has still, despite having a gift ban in place, taken trips to the Super Bowl and other sporting events alongside just some other, mostly sporting events, I'd say. So, I'm very honored by that. We got a great team at Spotlight, and that's what I'm saying. This is stuff we do. You know, we focus on holding power to account, and we've been able to do it in a way in Pennsylvania that can, you know, punch up there with national outlets. The winner was a Time Magazine reporter, so I'll take that. If that's the competition Spotlight's running in, I think we're doing good work.
Yeah, somehow our governor gets to go to a lot of sports events, and he gets to go for free. Yeah, okay. It's like, how do I get on that deal? Stephen, I'm just curious. I've never contacted Angela before. Does she do radio interviews? Because the series she's done on the care for elderly in Pennsylvania is a bit, I'll call it, damning. It's not good. I'd love to get Angela on the show to talk about that, because some of this reporting she's done, I'm like, they did what? Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, does she do stuff like this?
I think she would. Oh, I'm happy to ask her for you. She is truly one of the best reporters I have ever known, ever worked with. She's been in Harrisburg since the mid-2000s. So she knows her stuff. And I can tell you, she's, I think, the most feared person in the Capitol, if not probably the greater Harrisburg region. But She's an utter delight as a colleague and a reporter, and I bet you she'd talk to you about it. I'm sure she's happy to.
Do me a favor. Put in a good word for us, all right? Or share an email address or something. The most feared person in Harrisburg. Yeah, I want her on the show. I want to talk. And the whole elder care thing, that series, I've read this. Yeah. I'm like, okay, this is not good because I have elderly in-laws, and we're sort of the family sort of in a decision-making mode right now, and I'm seeing some of this stuff like, whoa, that's not good. So, yeah, put in a good word for us. I'd love to have her on the show sometime. All right, let's see.
I absolutely will.
My calendar says, it's July 10th, so the new state budget's been rolling for 10 days now. How's that been going, Steve?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because the law requires that they passed it by the end of June. So, yeah, how's that budget that's already been passed impacting us?
I got some bad news, guys. So there's no state budget yet. And look, I feel a need to also say, like, it was funny, Senate Majority Leader Joe Pittman gave a quote where he said, you know, the sun will come up on July 1st and the good people of Pennsylvania probably won't notice a thing. And planes aren't falling out of the sky, cities aren't spontaneously combusting, like, you know, there's no state budget and, like, you know, things are, you know, fine for the short term. The problem is more when you get into the long term, there's no state budget. School districts are going to start, you know, maybe having to take out debt to afford payments that otherwise would be backfilled with state dollars. You know, county human services providers, counties run a lot of mental health services and alcohol treatment, substance abuse treatment. They all of a sudden might be like, oh crap, we can't fit our bills. It does build over the course of the weeks and the weeks. If you just go 1 or 2 weeks to take extra time to hammer out a good deal, that's fine. If you go further, you get into August, September, October, no deal, then you start getting the problems. And right now, everyone's in Harrisburg, but top lawmakers, their top staff are in Harrisburg. They're hammering stuff out. They're talking. Everyone's definitely talking. You know, how close they are to a deal changes by the minute and who last texted me. The rumor mill is wild during these impasses. Hard part is trying to figure out what's actually happening, but the one thing I could definitely tell your listeners, everyone's talking. No deal yet, and I'm happy to get into all the things that are making a deal hard in further questions instead of just yapping for another 10 minutes as I'm on to do.
The obvious follow-up, Stephen. What's the problem? Why does this happen every year? Are they just kind of snickering behind closed doors like, yeah, we really don't have to do anything? What's the problem? Why is this not happening?
So I think the problem is that Pennsylvania has historically run a structural deficit, by which I mean the state regularly was spending a little bit more money than it was taking in. And we were able to get through a couple years because of one-time money from, you know, expanding gaming, selling new licenses for casinos, like, you know, sports betting became illegal in the late 2010s, which also became, like, you know, another way to just get another couple hundred million there. The state would also just resort to accounting gimmicks. The national watchdog group founded in New York City even said that Pennsylvania, it was the worst in the nation in terms of how it used accounting gimmicks. So by that, I mean, you move a bill around, you basically just give everyone an IOU, and when you're state, you can kind of get away with it. There was one year Governor Tom Wolf sold the and then leased back the state the giant center where they hold the farm show to get, you know, another couple hundred extra million dollars to, you know, try and plug things up. This is the sort of stuff that would be done. Now, fast forward to where we are now, like, the state has some extra money in the bank. We kind of won the equivalent of the fiscal lottery from COVID because the federal government was sending more money to the states, and also with all the aid that people were getting, you know, thinking of the stimulus checks, tax revenues were kind of up, and also corporate revenues really high, so corporate taxes went up. So the state had this one-time windfall and built up a reserves of about, you know, $15 billion at its peak. So the last couple budgets, we've been able to use that to sort of even out the fact that we're not bringing up enough revenue to keep up with the increased spending on things like Medicaid, on education, on this, that, the other thing. Now this is the year where suddenly, well, we've been spending more money on things that to be clear, like, there's a strong need to fund, whether we're talking about, you know, health care for low-income folks, or, you know, there's a court ruling saying Pennsylvania has been underfunding education in poor districts. Public transit agencies across the state are saying they're about to hit a fiscal cliff. I mean, you know, aging, elder care, those are things that are constantly saying there's not enough money. You know, you talk to home care providers, they say they don't get enough money from the state in order to pay their workers, like, living wages. All of these things are kind of cresting right now. And Governor Shapiro's budget pitch to try and just patch up some of those things was over $50 billion. The state was spending about $47 billion this year that just finished, if I remember correctly. But again, to spend that much money, we'd have to draw down more of those reserves we built up. They're down to about $11 billion right now. With Shapiro's plan, we'd have to cut that in half, more or less. We'd be at $5 billion. And we're still not bringing in enough revenue to cover $50 billion of spending. So you get into this point of, like, how is the state going to pay its bills? The state isn't the federal government. The state doesn't have nuclear weapons. They can't call them a debt. You know, and that means that tough choices have to be made. The state either has to. There's two ways to balance a budget. When you can't go into debt, you got to cut spending or you got to raise revenue. And that's a really hard conversation because Harrisburg right now is a Republican Senate, a Democratic governor, a Democratic House. All three have different priorities. You know, the House and governor are both Democrats, but, you know, what gets you elected in an individual district is different than what will get Josh Shapiro elected to another term. And so everyone's trying to hash out how you do this in divided government where, you know, look at our national politics. It's not like there's a lot of common ground. And they have to do this in miniature in Harrisburg, in a divided legislature.
All right, so Stephen, right now, roughly, rounding off a little bit, I guess, state budget is around $50 billion. Now, maybe this is Scott. Maybe I'm getting old. Not that long ago, wasn't it $30 billion? I mean, I just, over the last maybe 5-6 years, or am I wrong on that, Stephen? It just seems like all of a sudden, in the last few years, the state budget just been whoop, going way up. Or am I wrong on that?
No, you're not totally wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. When I started, I want to say the first budget I covered was, I want to say, we at least started or ended up being pitched in the high 30 million. So probably like 38 million, 37 million. But Shapiro's budget pitch for this year that we're now in was 51 billion. The one that was approved for last year, like I said, I think was like 47.5, maybe it was 48 billion. There has been increase. I mean, also, you know, what I'd say is, on the one hand, and this is Republicans' point, would be, that's a lot of growth. Where is this going? Is there a way to, like, reduce that? Like what is driving this? And is there a way to cut back on that? And then, like, when you look at it, what you see, the biggest thing is Pennsylvania's an aging state. You know, we have a population that's increasingly graying. We have a lot of people who need medical assistance, which is the state term for Medicaid. The Medicaid program, you know, that helps pay for health care for low-income folks. Those costs are high. Healthcare costs are going up for everybody, public and private sector. And also, elderly folks don't pay as many taxes to the state in terms of, like, the taxes that the state government gets. You know, they pay property taxes, but they don't consume as much. They're not making income. We don't tax retirement income. So, that means that there's not as many, like, you know, prime working age people in Pennsylvania paying taxes. So that kind of, like, hurts the state's finances overall. And, you know, so it's sort of like we have this dual situation of prices are going up, inflation's happened, healthcare costs are our biggest driver, we have more people who need this healthcare, and they're not the sort of people who are paying as many taxes. I mean, obviously, if they aren't public healthcare, they don't necessarily have the cash to be able to, like, be paying all these taxes they'll pay for. And the state just gets in a situation where the expenses start outstripping the revenue. And it's it's a problem. You states can't go in the debt. Pennsylvania constitutionally can't go in the debt.
Is that true? Or could, I mean, if we're late on budgets, I'm just wondering if we actually get to some point where we actually have a real honest to goodness deficit in Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that's impossible, that could never happen? I'm surprised it hasn't happened already.
Well, no, so I guess my point, you know, again, it's the difference between deficit and debt. State has run deficits. Deficit just refers to the fact that, like, we spend more money than we take in, and we've been able to cover it up with, like, accounting tricks, or in recent years, we had money in our savings to cover the gap. You know, I would think about it like, it's like, imagine if, you know, you're making $50,000 a year. You won the lottery. You get all of a sudden got $1 million a year. You then decide to buy a really nice house with that. You put a down payment. But all of a sudden, your mortgage payment's through the roof, and you can't actually afford that really, you know, that huge mortgage for the house that you bought. And, you know, that's kind of what I would say we're akin to. I don't want to use too many household metaphors and torture the thing. Like, and when I say the state can't be in debt, it's like, what I mean is that, you know, when we run a deficit, the state just has to either cut or raise taxes, unless there's, I believe, a statewide referendum saying, oh, you can go in the debt, you can issue bonds, you can go seek a loan from the private market to try and cover the gap. And you know, no one's pitched that. The only exception would be, like, we can issue bonds for, like, road funding. That's pretty normal, but so that's my point, is that, like, well, Pennsylvania has kind of regularly been in this position of having very tricky finances where we're just barely making ends meet. You know, we're kind of finally at the point where the bill is coming due and we're going to burn for our cash reserves within the next 2 years or so, unless there's some major changes to our state's financial system and the way we finance things.
Yeah, I was going to say, I seem to recall just a couple of years ago that state budget surplus was around, I think, $14 billion. Stephen, do you know how much is it right now? Because I know it's not 14.
It's $11 billion right now, roughly.
Okay.
You know, look, that was built up because of, you know, during COVID, like I said, the federal government was kicking in more money to the states for a couple of ways, and then also just tax revenues were higher than expected during 2020, 2021, 2022. Like, you know, economists thought, like, you know, everything was going to collapse consumption-wise, but, you know, people end up getting money from the federal government, so they spent money on, you know, consumer items, and corporations started to make more money. That meant elevated corporate tax revenues, and that meant the state ended up with way more money than anyone expected for, like, 2-3 years there.
All right, now here's something. Maybe you've done a story on this. Again, our local Congressman Thompson was with us yesterday. Of course, we're talking about the big, beautiful bill, whatever. Mm-hmm. And especially Medicaid and SNAP, where federal funds go to states, and then states distribute those funds somehow in their state. And it was the congressman's assertion that Harrisburg doesn't do a very good job or a very efficient job of using that Medicaid and SNAP money here in Pennsylvania. In other words, that there's probably a lot of waste. People are getting money that really shouldn't, and so on. Have you done any reporting on that? Because, I mean, that's a pretty serious assertion the congressman is making. You cover Harrisburg. Does this ever come up, how the state uses that Medicaid and SNAP funding?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a fundamental conversation about, like, with the amount of money we're spending. Republicans are always going to say, like, they think that there's room for, you know, to trim the fat there. And I've never done direct coverage of this, but my colleague Angela, who I mentioned, actually did a story on SNAP, for instance. What a lot of this comes down to is what's known as the error rate, my understanding of it is it's like this for SNAP, for at least, like, is. It is the rate of who is getting overpaid. Pennsylvania's, I believe, sits at about 10%. Might sound high. I want to say that's actually below a lot of our neighboring states. I think it's maybe a little below average for all the states. But still, you know, 10%, that's money. That's potentially, it's overpayments. But the way it's been put to me is that, like, you can't think of that 10% as that is all just people who are, could be employed, but aren't employed and just taking money to go to the grocery store and buy, you know, Wagyu beef. It's like, that just might mean that, like, somebody is getting paid for, like, you know, it's a paperwork issue where their familial situation has changed. Like, maybe they went through a divorce and suddenly, like, they're still getting paid, you know, some money for an extra member of the household who isn't there. And I think it can also even refer to numbers of, like, aren't high enough if someone is, like, you know. So that, like, I think in general what you see is there's a lot of rhetoric around, like, waste, fraud, and abuse in public services like Medicaid and SNAP that tries to get this idea that, okay, the all of the waste and the fraud, or all of these things represent somebody like the welfare queen, you know, that term from the 80s. But most studies that look at this say that most of the time, it is not that. Like, the number of able-bodied people who can't or who could work on Medicaid is not that big. It's a very small percentage of the people receiving it, and then usually there's a story behind that. It usually isn't this clean cut, just like person sitting in a basement playing video games who, you know, could have a job, but instead is just getting by on public insurance. The cases of that are usually very rare. So, you know, and you can add work requirements like the federal government requires with the omnibus bill, and you can try and, you know, change things around, but a lot of times when this stuff is implemented, it implements in a way that still kicks people off who might really need the help.
Stephen, I think I smell a future story series right there. I think
there's a lot to be done.
Yeah. And what kind of beef? What beef did you say?
Oh, Wagyu beef. You know, come on. That's the Wagyu beef, the Japanese beef that's beautifully marbled.
Yeah.
Come on.
Apparently, I'm going to the wrong store.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
It's in all of your groceries.
All right. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to do research on Wagyu beef or something. I just get plain old beef. All right. We're talking with Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA. We're going to talk about maybe some specific things that he has covered involving the state budget and the holdup and all that. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388. Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
Again, we're talking with Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA, covering Harrisburg issues and so on. All right, some of the things, Stephen, that you've covered, let's run down sort of a list, like, okay, the problems and so on. Skill games, okay? I've seen these in, you know, convenience stores and so on. I've never... To my knowledge, I don't remember ever playing one and so on. What's the issue with skill games? What's the argument here?
Okay, so, I mean, it's like one of the most complicated things to explain. Yeah. But I'll try to keep it simple, which, look, they're the Salt Lake devices that you probably see in, you know, they're in VFWs, they're in convenience stores, they might be in a small grocery store, they're everywhere. Some places just stick them wall to wall. In their place, because these are, you know, they're gaming. If you call them gambling, the people who make them will be very mad, because their point would be you can win every time if you know how to play them right. My understanding is that, you know, the difference is all about the computer algorithms that go into a slot machine versus their machines. I am not an expert in what makes a slot machine do what it does and what makes a skill machine do what it does, but all of this is to say is, you know, a slot machine just says, like, oh, this person wins, this person loses, and always make sure enough money comes out that the house always wins. You know, the argument with skill games is we don't have that. You can always win. You can make money. But the fact of the matter is they must make money off of them, the company and both the businesses that put them in, because they just keep expanding. And there was a whole press conference where the folks who argue that these machines should now be taxed and regulated, that you know, they help us pay overtime and they help us make sure that all of our workers have good benefits and et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying all this to say that, you know, these machines, they might not be gambling in the sense of you and me think about, you know, what a slot machine is, but they definitely seem to have an impact quite like that. And, you know, you talk to people who, you know, potentially lost all their money trying to play these things. So that means that it ends up having an effect quite like gambling on society. And, you know, when slot machines and poker games, casinos, all of that came to Pennsylvania, it came alongside a lot of changes, a specific board to regulate casinos and, you know, money to try to go to addiction treatment because, you know, there are people who are addicted to gambling, and, you know, and a whole system to try and keep it regulated. Skill games, though, are just completely unregulated at this point because they got into the state after a court ruling said, oh, well, they're not gaming, or they're not gambling, so they're a secret third thing and they can just go wherever they want. And that's why we've seen them proliferate across the Commonwealth, in everywhere, as you noted. That is leading to, you know, paying for the lottery, which pays for aging services, you know, people who buy scratch-off tickets. That leads to less money for the casinos, who don't like that. They had to pay a lot of money for their licenses, and they're not a fan of losing any money. You know, it's led to money for the people who have who make the machines, build the machines, and have the machines in their business. And now the argument is just, like, how do we regulate and tax these things because it needs to be done? And that's the funny thing. The one thing that there's a total agreement on is there need to be regulations and there needs to be taxes. The difference is simply where do you put that tax rate and how do you regulate them is causing a huge headache because there's a million ways to do it. And if you do it in one way, the skill machine operators, producers, and all of them, they're going to scream bloody murder, saying that you're trying to put us out of business and that, you know, we won't be able to operate. And then you do it another way, and the casinos are like, we're getting a huge haircut, and, you know, potentially you're hurting the lottery, which, like I said, pays for aging services in Pennsylvania, pays for property tax rebates and, you know, free rides to the doctor and stuff like that. So the details do matter of how you do it, and this is an issue that's been heavily lobbied and just in general. There's a lot of money in this issue, as I noted. It's all about money. And the skill game operators and the casinos and then other folks who all are involved in the gaming space, they all have tons of money, and they throw it at top lobby firms and into lawmakers' campaign coffers, which makes this issue, which already is hard, very policy, very wonky, and kind of hard to understand. It makes a difficult issue even more impossible because this is not just about, you know, how do we make sure the state's getting its cut and people aren't getting too addicted to gambling or, you know, gaming. But how do you, you know, how do you also navigate all the people who have big money to spend in politics? And that's always hard.
We have to make a definition of what gaming is. Oh, for goodness sakes. All right. All right. Transit.
That's what it is.
Yeah. All right. Transit funding. All right. I think you mentioned this last segment. You know, SEPTA in Philadelphia is moaning. We don't have money. The Pittsburgh Authority is moaning. They don't have money. What is going on with transit funding?
So transit is, and look, you mentioned Pittsburgh and SEPTA. They have some of the biggest shortfalls. This is every transit agency across the state, and there's transit in State College, there's transit in Bradford, there's transit in Scranton, Harrisburg. I just feel a need to throw that in there. But basically, you know, again, we kind of go back to issues from the pandemic, that agencies were humming along, you know, some of them were facing some financial woes, they're working through it. Pandemic hits. People stop commuting as much. You know, obviously, if your entire business is moving people from point A to point B, you're going to lose a lot of money. The federal government sent money to transit agencies to try to help them get through that. We are now at the end of those dollars. Ridership has returned for many of these agencies, but it's just in different ways. It looks different, and sometimes it isn't as high. So a lot of agencies, from SEPTA, the PRT, to, you know, all the other ones in between and all the small areas that run rural bus services and whatnot, they're all starting to say, like, if we don't run out of money, not run out, but if we don't, we're going to have to start cutting services and raising fares if we don't get more state aid. Because the state right now kicks in about $1.5 billion in operating expenditures to agencies. And that is, that's for, like, you know, bus driver salaries, that's for gasoline, that's for the stuff like that. And the, especially for transit, it's tricky because if they have to start raising fares and cutting services, that means their ridership's going to keep going down. And then the people who study this say basically just creates a vicious cycle where they go into a death spiral. They have to just keep cutting and raising and cutting and raising until the service is effectively useless, and then you have no more transit agency. So that's why that's such a pressing issue. Obviously, SEPTA serves Philadelphia, the Commonwealth's largest city. PRT serves Pittsburgh, second largest city. You know, that's made this particularly pressing and kind of on their timeline, particularly SEPTA's timeline. They said they're going to start raising fares and cutting service by the end of August about a deal. But a deal's complicated because, you know, as I said, you know, we have a divided government. Democrats are on favor of this. Governor Shapiro proposed boosting the amount of state aid that goes to these agencies. It wouldn't be a new tax. It's just the state, like I said, right now gives money to them. It would give more money out of the sales tax revenue, which is what funds transit right now. Republicans have said that given our structural issues, we can't afford to siphon more money out of the general fund, the out of our revenue, specifically the one cause about having, you know, more control, more revenue to cover it, because then, you know, if money that goes to transit can't be used to pay for education, can't be used to pay for Medicaid, can't be used to pay for SNAP. And also Republicans have said maybe, you know, we want to see money for roads. Roads are what serve our constituents. Our transportation system is aging. We have more highway miles in almost every state in the nation that need to be covered. And, you know, We also have a transportation funding system that was done in the mid-2010s. That's was under Corbett, Act 89, gave us the highest gas tax. But the funny thing is, gas tax revenue doesn't go as far because fuel efficiency and electric cars and hybrids and all that. So there is a need to do a big change in transportation funding in Pennsylvania. But again, that's a hard thing. People lost their position in the legislature over the gas tax in 2013, and so again, you get into this issue of it's hard to do in a divided. It's hard to do at any time, let alone a divided legislature.
All right. Now, you just had a story this week about sales tax exemptions and how some of that could possibly be going away. You cover it in the story, Stephen. Pennsylvania sales tax is insane. I mean, it's crazy. All right. What was that story? What's going on here?
Yeah, so Leader Joe Pittman in the Senate of the Senate Republicans, he actually told reporters last month in response to some questions that he was interested in looking at exemptions to Pennsylvania's sales tax, because right now, well, we level a 6% sales tax on sales in Pennsylvania when you go buy some product. There's a lot of exemptions to it. For instance, if you go to the grocery store, you're not going to pay 6% sales tax unless it's basically a food that ready to eat, get a rotisserie chicken or something like that. But when you just go buy a steak, if you go buy cereal, you go buy, an apple, that won't be taxed. And so that leads to, the state collects about $14 billion from its sales tax. There's another $27 billion that the sales tax is not put on. And that's also because there's a ton of exemptions for, services, for instance. Basically any service in the state, if you hire a lawyer, you get into a contract with them, an accountant, landscaping, dry cleaning, going to a concert, a lot of stuff like that, there's no sales tax on, which I talked to the Tax Foundation. They're a national group that looks at smart tax policy. They hadn't said exactly, they haven't looked exactly at exemptions, but they did say, this is common because there's concerns that, maybe you can make the sales tax less onerous if you leave some stuff out. So it's not like Pennsylvania is completely unique in that, but we do have a lot of these exemptions. And, Pittman's point was, what if we look at some of the smaller ones as a way to add more revenue? Some really weird ones we have, if you buy a flag, you don't pay tax on that, like an American flag or a Commonwealth flag. We don't tax candy. That is even done separately. I guess I think that might be covered in some ways, but we strictly say, we're not going to put a sales tax on candy. There's some interesting ones in there. You look at the article. We made a chart with all 100 plus of them, and I highly suggest there's a lot of interesting stuff in there.
All right, Stephen, just your opinion. Do you think something is going to change there with sales tax? Some of these exemptions will be taken out. Do you think there's something to that?
It is hard to say, I promise you, I'm not trying to duck the question. It's just talks right now are so black box. Details haven't really come out. It's an interesting idea. The problem is that one lobbyist who'd been doing this business for a while, and a former top Democratic staffer in the House for a while, noted that, all of these exemptions have a built-in universe of support. They're all there for a reason. They're not just there because some lawmaker had a bright idea. They're there because somebody lobbied for it, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 50 years ago. And they still do everything they can to protect them. That means it's hard. Not to go back to my running theme of things are hard, but when, an issue has a lot of money behind it, it's hard to do something on it. And so I think that makes me think maybe not, but at the same time, we have, that there's lawmakers need to do something. I think there's broad agreement that this is a year to try and start taking a hack at the deficit and start taking, with the federal bill, there's going to be needs to take a look at SNAP and Medicaid and change some things there. There's going to be a lot of hard conversations. If you're having one hard conversation, why not add another one on top?
All right. Now, I don't know if you know anything about this directly. State prison closings. Now, obviously, that hits us where we sit. Rockview State Prison is right over there. Okay. And we're sort of sitting and waiting. And what's going to happen here? We don't know. Do you have any information on that? When a decision might be made or anything on that?
I don't have anything specific, but I would say from covering a few of these budgets, I bet you it's something that gets tied up in the broader plan. I would bet you good money that whatever is going to happen will be tackled in the budget or some of the accompanying legislation that passes it. I'm sure it's on the mind of both all the legislators who represent the area and are impacted by it. I bet you it's something that's been brought up. I can't tell you what the eventual outcome will be. But, like, you know, for instance, I can remember when Governor Wolf in the late 2010s wanted to close these state centers for people with intellectual disabilities. Very similar, you know, these kind of large state institutions, often in rural areas. When he wanted to close them, citing costs, it kicked up a big fuss. There was a debate over it. He did end up closing them, but in a budget bill, I think there was like a proposal to give like $10 million to these communities to try and help them figure out ways to redevelop the land or just in general to, you know, transition out of their, you know, an economy that depended upon these institutions. So I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but like that was in the budget. The budget is where most legislating gets done. We still have a big, open, unfinished budget, and so I bet you it's all wrapped up in that one Omni conversation.
You have any idea, any guess, Stephen, as to when we will actually have a budget passed this year?
I'm going to shake my magic eight ball, and it's saying to ask again later. Is that a good enough answer?
That sounds right. Yep, that sounds right.
Yes, the magic eight ball is still a thing. Okay, so...
But hey, it's on my phone. I don't have an actual one.
Oh, well, I thought, come on, you got to get a real one or something. But the good news is apparently now we have Sunday hunting, right?
Yeah, the governor signed that yesterday. Long time issue. I am not a hunter, but I know people have debated this one for a while. It's now all on the Game Commission. I think they have about until fall to try and start issuing regulations. So apparently they're going to move quick on it. I are you guys hunters?
I am not. Well, I have a lot of good friends that are hunters, as they say, but no, I do not hunt.
I live in hunting country, yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm also old. This one rubs me the wrong way. I just, granted, blue laws and all that sort of stuff. I'm not a fan of Sunday hunting, but here it comes, so I guess I don't have much of a choice. So, anyway. all right, I tell you what, we're about out of time here, Stephen, but so you can't tell us that, you know, Tuesday we're going to have a new budget. Put it this way, is it going to go into August?
I shake my magic eight ball. No, I think generally there's a thought that, like, maybe they'll get to something close that could be voted on next week, maybe. But, again, I just have to qualify it 10 times because all the talks are in a black box. The way this is done is top lawmakers and staff meet behind closed doors. It's like the people conclave, you know? Like, I can't listen in as much as I, and also if I tried to put a listening device in there, that would be illegal under state law. So I what do you want me to do?
Actually, you know what? That's a great idea, Stephen. The conclave thing. We should take all these legislators and lock them in a room, and they have to vote and get it done. Somebody puts a chimney attached to the state dome in Harrisburg, and we're all standing there waiting for the white or black smoke to come out. Stephen, that's a great idea.
By all of us, you mean us three, right?
Exactly.
Well, okay. You ruined it, all right? I just think that would be a great idea. They should do that.
And if it's marijuana smoke that comes out of that chimney, we know that they have their next taxable recreational item for the upcoming year.
Actually, but as we wrap up, Stephen, we haven't heard about marijuana lately, all right? What's going on with that in the legislature?
That is also just that appears dead. The Senate leadership said very clearly they didn't like the House proposal, which would have set up a sale by a state board, like much how we sell liquor. So that's dead. That's it. I have nothing else to report on that. That one's easy, actually. More questions like that, please.
Dead for now, until we get to the point where the state actually is at a crossroads where it's like, oh, my gosh, we're actually going to go. Well, now maybe we will, is my guess, but that's the cynical me.
Look, keep your cynical hat on. These are elected officials. Like, I think it's good. I think it's actually patriotic to be somewhat cynical about elected office.
All right, there we go. Once again, the website spotlightpa.org. Although, Stephen, there are a lot of like newspapers and media outlets that also pick up your stories and publish them or put them out there. So,
oh, yeah.
Like Center mm-hmm. Daily Times has some Spotlight PA stories. StateCollege.com has done the same thing. Stephen, we always appreciate your time, and keep doing good work down there and enjoy your magic eight ball.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
Keep
happy to
posted.
Talk about it.
Hey, right. Thank you, Stephen.